You have your Bibles, you want to open to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I want to congratulate all of you for getting here this morning, this cold weather. And so we appreciate you being here. And even though our numbers are a little bit down, we are still have a full house here, and it's good to see each and every one of you. And I appreciate our deacon, Steve. He was here. For filling in for Pastor Travis this morning. I was kind of figuring out how I was going to be in both places, so it worked out very well. And I just want to remind you, as I begin this morning, I think he did tell you about our campaign that we have going on between now and the 22nd of March. And I hope that every single one of you are with us on Sunday, the 22nd of March, as we have our victory banquet in honor of paying off all of our debt and beginning a new year and a new time in our church life. So I hope that you will pray about it and ask, and you'll seek to do your part as well. Those of you who have already been doing it on a long-term basis, God has blessed you, and I'm sure all of you would give testimony to that. So we thank you for that. But today I'm going to draw our attention to 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 7. And if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't know. I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And then finally, in verse 31, it says, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. The baptistry is where people are baptized, and this communion table is where we prepare for the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. These ordinances are what Christ commanded us to do. It's a place where our heart and mind can lay aside the thoughts of discord in the world and find unity. We can join hands with strangers and leave holding hands as brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of who they are. We can pray together with people who are different from us in our worldly opinions and our experiences. I want to ask you a question. How would you feel if you were visiting a church and they passed out communion and the deacon skipped over you and passed the communion tray to another person beside you? I'm sure for a moment you'd feel a little confused. You might even be saying, wait a minute, you skipped me. Where is the cup for me and where is the bread for me? Only to realize that he intentionally left you out because you are not a member of that particular church. I would feel a little embarrassed. I might even feel rejected. And if you were the only one who was not served that day, I probably, like you, would feel somewhat excluded. And as we left, we would take the walk of embarrassment and probably not want to come back. I wonder sometimes if the Apostle Paul would be watching down, asking the question to all of us who do that, is Christ divided? So what if you've already received believer's baptism by immersion and want to join a church, but the church requires that baptism by a sister church doesn't work. You've got to be baptized by immersion like we do. Now, we have a biblical stance for immersion, but if you come from a church that baptized by immersion, it's believer's baptism, then we accept that. Was our Lord, who ate at the publicans and notorious sinners and talked about sheep of other folds, watching down over asking, is Christ divided? Will we let the table of grace keep us from the grace of God, the grace that we experience through the bread and through the cup, through baptism, one Lord of all. Well, we let baptism be invalid because it wasn't done by us in our church. For you see, baptism is a sign of new birth. It's a sign of being obedient to Christ. And we find that the church exists to serve a common good. It does not serve individual preferences. The beginning of understanding all of this is the idea that we must change the question to what can I expect or deserve when I come to church and begin asking, how can I serve? Is the world a better place because someone has known me? For you see, that's the real purpose of our existence and creation, not dividing and splitting hairs. Have you found that reason to live the life that God has called you to live? And God may be speaking to you this morning to travel a little further in your spiritual journey. After all, doesn't the Bible speak to us about our Christian life being a journey? And as we walk through that journey, as we begin to experience more and more of Christ, we should be more unified and not divided. As well as we should not be sightseers along life's journey. But instead, as Christians, we should be involved in God's work and promoting the unity of all believers. You see, baptism is open to every person, regardless of race, nation, gender, and stature. The cross does not ask us what your age is or your ethnicity or even your denomination. And the blood of Christ does not separate us. The water of baptism does not separate us. It unites us with the freedom to celebrate together, red, yellow, black, or white. You know the song, "We are all created equal in God's sight." So you see, the table this morning is for every believer, open to all who celebrate what God has done for each of you in giving you victory through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. It's also a reminder of the precious gift of everlasting life. It is also a place of peace and unity. It's not my table. It's not your table. It's the Lord's table. It's not your baptism. It is the baptism into the kingdom of heaven and it baptism of the Holy Spirit. The whole message here by Paul is not being a follower of Apollos, a follower of Cephas, or a follower of someone else. It's really that we're supposed to be united in God's work, not divided. That baptism is not of the church of Apollos or the church of Cephas. Paul did not want anyone to be baptized in his name because he feels as though we need to be baptized in Christ's name and God called him to come and preach the gospel. So I am convinced and convicted that the ordinances of our church are to unite us and not to divide us. And I think you can say it pleases God when people do not agree all the time. We don't want people marching like soldiers in one place, but when that begins to divide us, it tends to hurt our witness as a church. I think all of us can agree that our mission here is to do the will of God. Our mission here is to see other people come to know Christ. Our mission is to fulfill the Great Commission. And Ephesians 4:5 teaches that it is one faith, one body, one Lord, one baptism of all. So we cannot ignore what communion and baptism mean. Communion is the act of sharing the Lord. Baptism is the act of identifying as a part of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. And if we cannot share the Lord's table, and if we cannot experience unity through baptism and unity through this Lord's table, then I would submit there's really no place on earth we can demonstrate true unity. And oh, don't forget, as we sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in one accord," let us celebrate that biblical message in song. If we can sing, then we can commune. If we can sing baptized in water as you did this morning, then can't we focus on the things of God and less on what we think someone else should be doing in the church? If we can sit together in taking the Lord's Supper, if we can come together in the celebration of baptism, Aren't we closer to laying down our preferences and our pleasures and submitting to the will of God? I'd like to challenge all of us to think about working together in the same manner in all of our missions, in all of our efforts, as we do when we come to baptismal waters and sit together and take the Lord's Supper. Wow, what a concept. Treating all of God's work as holy and in as much unity as we do in baptism and the Lord's Supper. There is something holy about communion. There is something holy about baptism. But I would submit to you there's something holy about all of God's work. And we should be in unity in everything we do here at this church. There should be a spirit of love. There should be a spirit of unity. There should be a spirit of accommodation. There should be a spirit of you before me. There should be a spirit of your thought before my thought. We should never forget that the world is always watching the church to see what we do. They are there by the millions all over the world watching every church in their community, everyone around them, to see if the doors are open and what they're doing. For you and for me, there are also people in the circles of our lives watching us, relatives and neighbors and those that we work with and those that we buy from at the store, those that come to our home to fix our cable, and those that make deliveries. They are watching to see what kind of difference we're making in the world and what difference there is in us. It's important for us to demonstrate that kind of unity and love. However, so many times what we hear is what's bad going on out at the church, at the restaurants and the beauty shops and garages, Havelock and surrounding areas. I mean, after all, haven't many of us been aware of churches in trouble? Haven't many of us heard about what the preacher's doing, what the people are doing, and how they're divided? Aren't many of us aware of churches in our community that are declining and budgets are hurting and people aren't going? Aren't many of us aware of the difficulties that people are having in their worship centers? And I know that grieves God, for He would like for all of His churches to be known by their love, their unity. He would like for believers to speak positive about another faith. Paul urged the Roman believers. He said in Romans 14:19, "Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." In fact, an illustration of this is about a famous preacher too, George Whitefield. He was a great preacher many years ago, was a great example of what I'm trying to talk about. He says, although Whitefield disagreed with John Wesley on theological matters, he was careful not to create in public what could be used to hinder the preaching of the gospel. When someone asked Whitefield if he thought he would see Wesley in heaven, Whitefield wisely replied, "I fear not, for he will be so near the eternal throne and we at such a distance, we shall hardly get sight of him." This kind of attitude we all need as Christians. We need to do all that we can to demonstrate the unity among Christians. This passage of Scripture and many more in the Bible is about unity. The warning is against quarreling about who or what of baptism. It is about being united in Christ's service. If there is any place that is holy or sacred, surely it's the water of baptism and the communion at the Lord's table, which calls all of us to a spirit of unity. When people come together for these two events, we seem to lay aside all of our worldly ideas and our personal preferences, and we focus on that great grace that's being given to us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could approach everything we do with that attitude? And we should do all we can as Christians to further unity in every area of ministry and mission in our church. Let me remind us of a scripture found in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, which says, "These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7, an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that can be swift into running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." May Cherry Point Baptist Church continue to be known as a healthy, friendly, mission-minded church. And may all of us guard against division based on our preferences or our persuasion, and focus only on demonstrating the will of God among all of us and ensuring that our community and the people around us and our circle of influence all know us by our love. And that we are unified, not in our opinion, but we're unified in our spirit and in our mission. For we need many opinions. We need differing opinions. But when we have those differing opinions, we ought to imagine ourselves sitting at the Lord's table with that reverence and that holiness. We ought to imagine ourselves around the baptismal waters and experiencing that same spirit of unity that we experience there. For this idea of unity should spread in everything we do at all times, so that we can continue to share a witness with our community. So this morning, we have come to share in the unity of the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And I pray and I ask you to pray with me that this spirit of unity and holiness be evident in every ministry and mission of Cherry Point Baptist Church. And I pray this morning, if you're here, not gone through the baptismal waters, you saw me at the end, see, here is water, what doth hinder thee to be baptized? If you're a believer, if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, it's not an option. He says, you be baptized. It is His command, and in obedience to Him, we will want to go through those baptismal waters to give our testimony of that outward sign of that inward decision that we've made. We invite you to come and go through the baptismal waters and become a part of our unified fellowship, seeking to serve Christ in our community. Maybe this morning you've never publicly accepted Christ as your Savior. Jesus says that if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Confession of Christ as Lord and Savior is what gets you into heaven. You may be here this morning and you're not a member of our church. You're living here in Havelock, but your membership is somewhere else. It's not here. You're not active. I would invite you to come and join our church this morning. He wants you to be in service. He wants you to join a fellowship that's unified in mission and in spirit. So I invite you to come this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 409, Your Supper, Lord, Before We Spread. 409, you come as we sing.